each other to friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Never had to introduce the show before. I don't know how to do it. Hi.
Do you
and
guys
welcome
still do that?
Could you not? I'm sorry.
Oh, is it?
Could you not?
You don't like being interrupted when you're introducing
the show.
Sure.
Hello and welcome to Strange Bedfellows. My name is Tanner Greenring, and I am a strange bedfellow.
My name is Jamie Green
Ring. My wife.
Am I also a strange bedfellow?
Hmm. You better believe it, honey. Jack had a baby.
He had a baby.
And you were married to me, so you know this better than anyone. But Jack and I failed to
bank episodes,
get it together, do any kind of pre-planning, have any kind of foresight at all.
None.
So instead of recording with Jack, who literally has a 1 week old at home right now, I'm recording with my wife.
Hello.
Jamie Greenring. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much.
It's not your first time on the show.
No.
But unless you play your cards right, it will be the last. I was trying to decide what kind of line I wanted to take.
I thought it was going to be like, it's not your first time and it's not your last because Jack's on paternity leave for a few weeks. But
it is
you
neither
really turned
your first,
it around on me.
Nor is it your last unless you really fuck this up.
I mean, not, whatever. I could be sitting on the couch looking at Instagram right now.
You know what? It's not good. That's boomer humor. Like, take my wife, please. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, we don't
do
that.
Do
we're
that.
Millennials.
That's not the posture, right?
We
talk about love. We talk about support. We talk about caring for one another very deeply. You and I have a baby together.
Yeah.
We have a famous segment on this show called Dad Talk.
Dad Talk.
I know you're not a dad.
Nope.
But you're dad adjacent. You're a mom.
Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe we could, I don't know, spend at least a half an hour talking about how cute our kid is.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that we should spend at least half an hour talking about what a nightmare bedtime was tonight, because that's like all that my brain is occupied with, because we had a minimal buffer coming from a very unpleasant bedtime to sitting down to record a comedy pod.
Well, did you drink 3 beers?
No, I ate a bowl of granola.
Do you
want to
pause and go drink 3 beers?
No.
Because it helps.
It helps you.
Here's what happened at lunch today. You were only sort of around for this, but I did lunch today. Oh, by the way, welcome to the show. This is a
podcast.
Welcome
romance
to the podcast. This is a Strange Bedfellows. It's a romance podcast where we discuss romance books. Our guest this week is Jamie Greenring. And by guest, I mean co-host, because Jack is having a baby.
And by Jamie Greenring, you sort of also mean Jamie Green. It's like, it's tricky because we're married,
yeah,
and in our house and in our family, my last name is Greenring, but yes, I'm on a podcast right now.
And in the eyes of the law.
Yes. But in the eyes of the people.
What do you mean by the people? You mean society?
Fans?
Because they're too.
I mean my adoring fans.
Okay. Yes. Professionally, you go by your former last name.
My maiden name.
Because you wanna blend in with the crowd. That's great for authors, is to have like a very common name.
I mean, what's great for authors is to continue writing under one name for their entire career. Do you want to talk about how cute our kid is, or do you want to spend half an hour relitigating the fact that you're kind of upset that I kept my prior name professionally?
The former. Here's what happened at lunch today. Is I was sitting there feeding him lunch, and we were talking about the afternoon, after nap. I think he's finally starting to understand the difference between nap and bedtime.
Yeah.
And he was doing a very cute thing where he was just kind of listing off like an
itinerary.
An itinerary, yeah, of all the stuff that he thought we would probably get up to this afternoon. And he was like, Maybe we'll watch TV. Maybe we'll watch, we'll do VR. Yes. Yes, America. Sometimes I put my kid in VR. So what? It's 2022. Maybe we'll watch Blaze. Maybe watch Bluey. And just continue to go on and on like that. There was no stopping him. What's your favorite Miles story?
Oh, I thought that was the setup to what the cute thing was. That was the cute thing.
It was the setup and the payoff.
True.
Was there what you were sort of around? Was there another cute thing you did? That was
no,
it.
No. That was it. I thought you were gonna tell me something I didn't know that I wasn't there for.
I was telling the baby listeners, the sex bugs.
They were not there. I thought a cute thing was this morning you got up with him when he woke up ungodly early because it was your turn. I just realized
because
I usually take the early morning the day after you've recorded a podcast, but we're both recording
a podcast.
What a scam. Yeah. What a scam I've fallen for.
Hopefully he'll just sleep until 9 or whatever, and then we'd have to keep him home from school. That'd be a bad idea.
He better go to school. He had a snow day today, listeners. Is the
other there wasn't a flake on the ground. Thanks, Ned. Thanks, Ned Lamont.
The cute thing that he did today was, so you got up with him around, you probably got up at like 6:20, 6:30. Mm-hmm. I don't know what time it was.
I got out of bed at 6:30, but he woke me up at like 5:45.
Yeah. But I looked at my phone and I said, school's closed today. And you got him and took him downstairs to eat breakfast and came up and got me around 7:15. And then as I woke up, you guys just spent like 10 minutes in bed playing Butterflies and Caterpillars.
Yes, we did do that.
That was pretty cute.
It was a new game where Miles is a butterfly. Well, he's both.
He keeps going back and forth.
And I'm a sentient cocoon.
It's like Tenet.
Oh, I haven't seen it. And I know for a fact that you haven't either.
But I listened to a podcast about it. So he does a temporal pincer.
Yeah.
Going back and forth between, but I'm a butterfly. I'm a caterpillar. And he lies down and is a caterpillar.
But then he will also act like a little like baby worm when he's a when he's a caterpillar. He understands that caterpillars are the babies.
Yes.
And when he's sort a baby, he goes, talk.
He goes, me.
And then he'll come into Papa's cocoon and he'll turn into a butterfly and then fly away. It's also really been a struggle to get him to be quiet when we're waking you up in the morning. His instinct is to
mommy,
get right in your face and scream at you. But we've been really drilling gentle wake ups.
Yes, gentle. He also understands tender. He'll go, good morning, Papa.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't call you Papa, he calls you Dada. Good morning, Dada.
I know.
Jack, if you can just edit out when I said Papa and replace it with... Jack is editing these, right?
God, I hope so. I'm certainly not.
I'm not.
Should we talk about the book that we read
today? Yeah, that was...
Dad Talk. We read a book that was recommended by the former New York Times romance critic.
Oh, me.
So... Oh, is that you? Oh, I'm looking at my notes. It is you. That's you. Why aren't you... quick question.
Yeah.
Why aren't you the co-host of this podcast?
I get too sleepy at night.
What business does Jack Shepherd even have hosting this show? He's repressed. He hates talking about sex. He has no background in romance.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you...
Mm-hmm.
We're the dang... romance...
Columnist
for the, the dang New York Times, the old gray lady.
Mm-hmm.
For years.
I don't know. Yeah, people could wonder.
It's because it's too much of a time commitment for you. I know
I'm
to
too
be
sleepy.
True.
We read a book.
What book did we read?
We read The Charm Offensive.
Mm.
Jack, edit out this pause while I try to get back to the cover to get the author's name.
Allison Cochran.
Thank you. Yeah. We read The Charm Offensive. It was so cute.
It's a cute book. It's a cute book about two...
Boys.
Boys to men.
Falling in
love. Two of the members of Boys to Men. Falling in love.
On the set of...
A romance show. It's a reality dating show.
Which is definitely not The Bachelor, because it's... is it called Happily Ever After?
It's something very similar to that, if not
it's
that.
Just it's The Bachelor, but fairy tale themed.
Yes, it's The Bachelor. Oh, Jamie, you just reminded me of something.
What?
Do you remember? It's called Ever After.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Ever After. Da, 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 da.
God, I gotta look this up. Da, 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 da. What is that? Forever Into the Woods?
After. Yep.
God. You tried your hardest to indoctrinate our kids.
He was so into it for like a week.
Into the Into the Woods soundtrack. He made me listen to the first song on the album about 1,000 times, and it's nonsense.
You are going to get so many angry emails.
Good. Bring them on. What was I looking up?
I have no idea.
I remember. Da, 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 do you remember da, 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 a few years ago da, 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 when I was very, very into a reality TV show called The Quest?
Yes.
Where it was a reality show, like Survivor.
Yeah.
Except the whole premise was they lived in a castle in like the Italian countryside.
They were just LARPing, right?
Austria. Yeah, it was LARPing.
It was like Renfair Survivor LARPing.
It was Survivor. It was Survivor, except everyone. It was like LARPing. Fantasy.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
They were all wearing like leather gherkins. Yeah. And, like,
wait.
Doing like foam.
Aren't gherkins pickles?
Jerkins? I don't think it's called a jerkin, is it? That's like nasty. Here, let's look it up.
You said gherkin, which gherkin. Almost sure that's a little pickle.
Here, I'm on jerkin. It's called okay. A jerkin. Mm-mm. Like you're jerking it.
Yeah.
It's like a leather coat without arms.
It's called a vest. Don't you have a segment for this?
Look, the definition is literally a sleeveless jacket. So I guess
then what's a vest?
We do have a segment for this. It's called Jamie Greenring Fashion Genius, and it's all about how Jamie Greenring doesn't know anything about fashion.
Okay, tell it to a placket.
What a good show The Quest was, and we're all worse off for it having not been renewed for more than one season.
Yeah,
what a beautiful show. 12. Here, let me read the format to you real quick. 12 people compete in a reality competition that takes place against a backdrop of a high fantasy setting, the Kingdom of Everrealm.
Oh, I just remember there was a queen.
While the ongoing storyline is scripted and the contestants are interacting with actors throughout the competition, yes. The actual challenges and eliminations are genuine and determined by the contestants' abilities and decisions.
But right, there was like an actress playing the queen, and there would be like a knight who would come
paladins.
In and say,
"What a good show! Why did we let this slip through our fingers, America?"
What channel? What network was
ABC.
It on?
ABC was like, we're going to take a big swing at this.
Isn't ABC home of The Bachelor?
Is it?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since we've watched.
Jamie!
What?
The show ran for a single season on broadcast television, and a reboot has been announced to be broadcast on the Disney Plus streaming service, which we, as two parents, are happy subscribers to.
Oh, I like pretending that we have Disney Plus for Miles and not for Star Wars.
All the Star Wars stuff, yeah.
Yeah,
and Marvel TV shows.
Yeah.
All right, what are we talking about? This book, which is essentially the novelization of the reality show, The Quest.
Well, it's The Quest plus The Bachelor. You know The Bachelor. You've watched The Bachelor.
We just watched The Bachelor last week.
I know, we watched one episode of it, and then the next week I was feeling too sensitive and tender to hate watch something, because this season is a hate watch. Let's be real.
Yeah, the boy's a real pill. What's his name? He's like Clayton, something stupid.
I don't know. He and the new host look exactly the same. And I just realized that, you know how I said that since Rose Buddies is long gone, we should have a Bachelor podcast? Congrats. I just tricked you into doing it.
No, I won't talk about The Bachelor any more than I have to.
Well,
we, at one point,
Bachelor,
many years ago,
yes.
Let's see if we can remember the names of the contestants whose seasons we watched.
The first one was the blonde girl who picked the anti-vax quarterback's brother.
Yes.
And then I guess next was Nick, and then was Rachel. I think we probably watched 3 seasons.
Yeah, and we used to invite people over to desensitize our dog.
Right. This was like soon after we had adopted Hercules. Function. And he was so reactive to visitors to the house that we started and the trainer was like, you have to have people over more often. So we had people over every Monday to watch The Bachelor, and it was great. It was super fun. The best season is not one of those three.
No.
It was the one season of Canadian Bachelorette.
I'm going to say the only good season. that we've ever watched is the one season of Canadian Bachelorette that we watched. And I will say this, there's a new host on Bachelor this season. Mm-hmm. God, you really did trick me into doing a Bachelor podcast. There's a new host on The Bachelor this season, and he's like a pill.
And he looks just like The Bachelor.
And he looks just like The Bachelor.
They're
You're
both
right.
like big football square jaw.
Meanwhile, the host of Canadian Bachelorette
is a ghost.
Was such a charming gentleman and also was the host of Carnival Eats.
Yes.
A show on the Food Network that we watched a lot of right after Miles was born.
we used to watch Carnival Eats every time we had guests over and we sort of ran out of conversation. You would just start flipping through the channels and then Carnival Eats would be on and we would be like, we don't have any more conversation because we have a newborn.
Yeah. Oh, so, like, my favorite show, Carnival Eats, is on.
Carnival Eats is always on.
Yeah.
Noah, I think his name is the host.
Yeah, Noah. That's
But anyway,
right.
If you can find the one season of Canadian Bachelorette, it is beautiful, perfect television.
DM Jamie. She'll send you the link. She still has it.
I do not still have it.
No. DM Jack and ask him.
Why would Jack have it?
I just want to do it to annoy him more than anything. We're not here to talk about The Bachelor.
I guess.
We're not here to talk about The Quest as much as we both mutually want to. Right? We're here to talk about Ever After. We're here to talk about
The Charm Offensive.
Who I have decided to call Dave. And you've decided to call Dev.
Well, we're both wrong.
We're both wrong in a lot of ways. I, as always, sex bugs, bedpots, listened to the audiobook of this.
And I read the word book.
And you read the Redio novel.
Yeah.
The narrator of the audiobook very clearly and very distinctly is calling the love interest of the book Dave. And when I said that to Jamie the other day, she said, you mean Dev? And I said, no, I mean Dave. And then we discovered that he's Indian American.
Yes. And his name is spelled D-E-V.
Yes.
We're both wrong because the vowel in it is a lot like Dave, but the D is softer. It's probably one that I'm not capable of pronouncing. I checked in with my friend Swapna about this because her son is named Dave. And
that was good.
Thank you.
I
took a run at it, and it's something that requires taking, like, it takes focus because it's not a language I speak, and it's not pronunciation I'm used to. That's his name.
Right.
He's
a cutie. The narrator of this book called him Dave the entire time, and to the degree that I mostly forgot that he was an Indian American character. You know how you, like, as soon as a character in a book is, like, described a certain way, it just sort of, like, clicks to either a fictional person or a real person that you
know?
Who
did it click to for you?
Are you familiar with the Disney film Atlantis, The Lost Kingdom?
I'm not. Wait, it clicked to a cartoon character for you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was picturing Michael J. Fox's character from Atlantis, The Lost Kingdom as Dave the entire time. The Lost Empire. God, no wonder. Oh, sorry. Sorry, you said seen Atlantis, The Lost Kingdom, but have you seen Atlantis, The Lost Empire?
No.
Okay. Let me send you a picture of this character.
Oh, I turned off notification. Are you texting me or are you chatting me?
I was going to send it in the chat. Is that okay?
Okay, do that. Yes.
Okay. And just a reminder, you're kind of taking the Jack role in this episode. So when I send you links to pictures, you have to say, it's an audio medium.
That's a really bad Jack impression. It's loading really slowly.
Okay.
Jack, just edit this out.
Jack, leave it in.
Milo James Thatch. I just had the stupidest thought, which is that this cartoon character looks exactly like a character from my D&D game, which is like the most useless. But he looks like Chester Copperpot.
This is who I pictured the entire time I was reading this book.
Pictured Hrishikesh Hirway, the former host of Song Exploder.
Yeah. But anyway.
He's a
Dave
cutie.
or Dev. I'm going to say Dave because that's what the narrator called him the entire time.
Okay.
Dave.
Swapna did say that she really hates when people call her son Dave.
Okay. God, I want to be sensitive about this. But I don't want to, like, just say Dev, because that's even wronger.
Oh, wait. We are going to call him Milo. Milo James Thatch.
Okay, so we couldn't pronounce the name, so we're just giving him, fine. Like, an...
Okay, no, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Let's just call him Dev. Dave.
Dave. I fled Hercules out of the office.
We'll just do our best.
We're doing our best. One sec. We are 23 minutes into recording and have
It goes for like an hour, right? Did you think we were wrapping up?
No, I just feel like at some point we should maybe like name the other main character of
Here's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have you describe the novel.
Okay.
I would like for you to take 90 seconds.
I need about 20.
This is a format that Jack and I have largely abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you 90 sexy seconds.
All right.
On the big sexy clock.
Okay.
To describe the entire plot of this book.
Do you want me to do it?
And this romance between Dave.
Sexy.
Yeah, do it sultry.
That's not weird for the listeners.
That'll get them all charged up. Let me Google 90-second timer real quick. 90-second keto bread? No. In 5, 4, 3, 2,
go. Charlie is a disgraced tech entrepreneur CEO, and he's super hot. And in trying to rehabilitate his image, he agrees to be the next Prince Charming on the next season of Ever After, which is like The Bachelor, but with fairy tale theming. And he doesn't realize that he's gay, but he is. And he falls in love with Dave, who's one of the producers on the show. And they fall in love. They're not supposed to, but they do.
Okay, you still have 60 seconds left.
The woman who seemed like she was going to be the winner when it seemed like he was going to make himself choose from the female contestants also turns out to be gay.
Yes. Do you remember her name?
No.
Daphne.
And that's it. It's a full-length book. It's a great book. But it's the plot-wise, that's the plot.
Okay, you still do have 24 seconds, okay. But we'll just let the clock run out. Interesting that I was like, Jamie, my beloved, my co-host, my other beloved, Jack just had a baby. I need help. I need you to help co-host my romance podcast with me. And also, you're a much more well-read romance connoisseur than
I am. You guys are catching up, though.
So would you please suggest a book that we should read next week? And you decided to pick a book that's about, like, Elon Musk. You were like, oh, I want to read this sexy romance about Elon Musk.
He is absolutely not Elon Musk, and I will tell you all the reasons. One, he's hot. Two.
Okay, well, beg to differ there.
Oh, please. Two, he's smart and nice. Three, he's good. He's like...
I think Elon Musk is meant to be the model for Charlie in some ways.
Absolutely not. That is such like a disgusting thought. Do you know how... Tanner, please don't make... Let this be an escape. Elon Musk is so bad.
You're making it sound like I like him.
I don't think that he's the model for Charlie at all. So Charlie's background is he and his best friend from Stanford started some tech startup. We don't even know.
Oh, he's Andrew Garfield's character from Social Network.
Yes. That's right? More. Yeah, I like that better. And Andrew Garfield is a cutie. So yeah. But Charlie's not a cutie. Charlie, they say, is like Marvel superhero hot. He's like tall. He's got an eight pack. It turns out he's got compulsively exercises.
Yeah, he's got OCD and he's latched on to exercising.
Yeah.
And like it just happens to have made him like a sexy ripped up man.
Yeah. That's a romance novel. But it he's is a like he's novel, nice yeah. and good, and like his arc over the course of the book is about in realizing that someone can know him as a person and can know his mental health struggles and still love and accept him, he becomes more comfortable with himself and becomes like sort of relaxes a lot and comes out of his shell and like accepts being a weirdo instead of trying to repress it and hide it. But he's like, he got kicked out of his company after having a panic attack at a board meeting.
Yep.
Turns out that his co-founder is like a real asshole.
Josh.
Josh is bad.
Josh's are always bad.
Wait, what? Don't tell Josh you said that.
Dave, on the other hand.
Yes.
Is like a skinny wiener.
Yeah, he wears like ugly cargo shorts.
Yeah, that's what they keep hammering that point, how like ugly, how like heinous his cargo shorts are.
Yeah.
And it's what endears Charlie to him to some degree.
Yeah.
He's like a skinny, scrawny little wiener boy. He's the producer of this show.
And he like believes in the show. He like actually thinks that the show is about people. He like believes that people come on it for the right reasons.
Yeah. And he, I guess, tricks Charlie into falling in love with him by doing lots of practice kissing.
Yeah. So the idea is like Charlie's
practice dates and practice kissing.
Practice dates. Yeah. Charlie is super awkward, like in a bad TV way, and has a lot of trouble doing TV dates with the ladies. And so Dave, who's his handler, is like, you need to get comfortable with being on a date, with opening up to someone. So let's just go do that for practice.
Yes.
And then they start making out all the time.
They do start making out all the time. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes.
How comfortable are you with improv comedy?
Do you know?
On a scale of like very to extremely.
7?
No, it's the bottom. 0 is very and 10 is extremely.
Yeah, 7.
Okay. Because you just mentioned something.
What did I just mention?
That Charlie is not the Prince Charming that he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's bad at the reality dating show stuff.
And are you getting at? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Bad at kissing, at being touched.
What's the first thing he's bad at?
Well, the very first thing he's bad at is when they're recording the like intro package, mm-hmm, to introduce Charlie to America and to his suitors, his
sutresses.
Ladies. Sutresses. I don't think that's the word.
It is.
I think it's sutress. Yeah, okay. It sounds like suture.
Tanner, I used to be the romance critic for the New York Times.
That's true. That's true. And you're a professional writer and editor.
I am.
And I'm just some dummy. So. Yeah. The following passage happens.
Yes.
When
yes,
he's
yes.
trying to record this intro package. 2 days ago, Ever After took Charlie to a beach where they expected him to ride a white horse for the intro package. Like the Prince Charming he's supposed to be. Prince Charmings are supposed to intrinsically know how to ride horses. They're definitely not supposed to be afraid of horses. Instead of looking strapping and manly, he kept slouching and delaying production and grimacing with every uncomfortable jostle of the saddle until the sun was gone and everyone was generally pissed with the shots. The bald woman running the set called him fucking uncoachable. And Jamie.
Yes.
The reason I ask if you're any good at improv is because this reminds me of a long forgotten segment on this fairly new podcast. Called Love in the Time of Horses. Jack's my co-host, by the way. I know you don't really listen. Jack and I have a piece of intellectual property we're kind of kicking the tires on.
Mm-hmm.
Unsure whether or not we want to like have it option to be like a movie. We obviously would not do like direct to streaming or anything like that. It would have to be National Motion Picture Theater release.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a book, or it could be like, you know, any number of different kinds of media that it could take the shape of. But it's called Love in the Time of Horses, and mm-hmm. it's a beautiful love story about a woman named Pud,
Mm-hmm.
And a lord named Lord Swolewood.
Yeah.
And their love. Mm-hmm. And there's also vampires and Gungans. And the main enemy, the main antagonist of the book is horses.
Horses.
And the horses have gone wild. And the horses have started to hunt down humans and kill them. Or something along those lines. We haven't really fleshed it out yet.
See, Charlie knew. Charlie knew what was up.
Let me ask you another question. You ever seen Dawn of the Apes?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure that's what we've got here. I don't think that this is Charlie failing to mount and ride a horse. I think this is the beginning of the horse uprising. And I think what we're looking at here, or what this passage is meant to inspire, is a prologue chapter to Love in the Time of Horses.
Yes.
We have to cut to break soon, so we have to keep this pretty brief.
Okay.
Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. Prologue. In my vision, this is years, if not millennia, before the events of Love in the Time of Horses.
Okay, I'm going to pause you there.
Mm.
Romance prologues usually feature one of the main characters. But vampires are immortal, so it could do that, but neither... Wait, is Pud a human or a Gungan? Is one of them a vampire?
I think both of them might be Gungans. I think both of them might be vampires. I can't really remember.
I don't think they're both vampires.
Okay, well then they're certainly both Gungans.
Are Gungans immortal? Can Gungans be vampires?
God, I wish. Oh. Right. I think anything could be vampires.
Okay, so Swolewood is a vampire Gungan, and he's in the prologue.
I think here's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want the prologue to end with, like, I want there to be a shadowy figure in the prologue, and I want the prologue to end on sort of like a cliffhanger, which is, like, we discovered that the shadowy figure 2,000 years before the events of this book is Lord Swolewood.
Okay, that works, that works, that works.
Okay.
Okay, prologue.
Prologue. I have to look something up real quick. Spaceship where humans and Cylons meet in Battlestar Galactica.
There are Cylons in this now too?
No, 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 no. Intro. Interior. Cold. Uninviting. Almost industrial feeling corridor on a spaceship, emblazoned on the wall in military script. We see Battlestar Pegasus in what did I already say military script?
Yeah,
we see the words Battlestar Pegasus.
I like the horse resonance there.
Auto door in the distance swishes open with a mechanical hum. Okay? And hop in anytime.
As soon as I know...
Through the door steps the figure of a man bathed in shadow, wearing a long cape. He walks commandingly down the corridor, his heels echoing as they click against the concrete. Plasteel. Reverse shot behind the man's shoulder so we can't see his face. He sits at the table, opens up a small portfolio full of papers, and begins to leaf through them. Clearly not expecting the door on the other side of the corridor to open up. But just as he's about to pack up and leave, we hear the telltale whiz of the auto door opening on the other side of the corridor. And in steps a horse.
Uh-huh.
And you take it from here. I know you haven't seen Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
But this is how Battlestar Galactica opens. The humans and the Cylons have this tense peace every
Wait,
year.
Wait, no,
they
we watched this. We watched like three episodes of it together. I've seen this one.
Okay.
So then the horse shoots it. But
the Cylon shoots the man, but we don't have to do that. We can take this in whatever direction we want. You're a writer. You know this. This is your bread and butter.
So the horse, I guess, carries in its mouth and lays down on the table, puts on the table in front of the man a small, like video gun. Player, like a no, like okay. like a futuristic iPad.
Okay.
And the horse leans forward and with its nose, because it doesn't have hands, taps on the video screen to make the video start playing.
Okay.
And the man in shadow, the camera from behind the man's shoulder zooms in on the futuristic iPad screen until that is just what we're watching. And there we see...
Does it do the Matrix sizzle thing? You remember them in the
sure.
Matrix
yeah, yeah.
when they kind of like go into the screen and it
yeah.
goes like...
Sure. Yep, 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 yep. It does that. And then we see a beach at sunset and a white horse slowly walking down the beach, and sitting tensely on the horse's back is a beautiful blonde man with an 8-pack of abs. You can't see it, but like you can tell that that's
yeah.
what he has.
Quick girt check?
We'll have to get to that. There must be textual references.
Okay.
And he is very uncomfortable and he's trying his best to stay on, but then the horse looks straight at the camera for a second knowingly and gives a little shake, and the man very awkwardly and painfully falls off and splats onto the sand, and a little poof of sand dust comes up, and then we're back in the room with the horse and the man in shadow, and you take it from here.
Cut to an extreme close-up of the man's mouth. Still, you can't make out any details about this man.
Is it human or Gungan?
Human.
All right.
And he is watching the video, and you see his mouth sort of like widen into a sardonic grin. And as his mouth opens and more of his teeth show, you see that he has vampire fangs. And he says...
Yes, good. Let the horse uprising begin. We are your eternal allies in this.
And he sort of nods knowingly, and then it cuts back to the man in full profile, and we see that it is the vampire lord, Lord Swolewood.
Is it the profile of his face or of his dick?
It's both.
Okay.
He's sort of standing, just full body nude.
Yeah. yeah.
he's still got his cape on. And then
that's a prologue.
That's cut to present day.
That's a prologue.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably take a quick break.
Do you have to pee?
I could.
Okay, good.
I could.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Welcome back. Jamie and I went through a real phase a few months ago where we were watching a British man play 2.5 hour games of Sudoku.
Oh, yeah.
On YouTube. And then you really caught the Sudoku bug after that.
Yeah,
you've sort of been a Sudoku fiend ever since.
Huh? I still play it. I play it every night before bed instead of I'm still looking at my phone, but instead of looking at social media, I'm just looking at grids of numbers, and it really helps me just fall
asleep.
Makes
you feel better. Yeah. I caught the Sudoku bug briefly after that, but then very quickly caught the Final Fantasy IV bug, which took over. We have a lot to discuss.
We do. Segments.
So far, we've barely touched on the book at all. We've only explored our own book and our child's cuteness.
Yeah, he's cute.
But we do have some obligations.
Yes.
Responsibilities.
Yes.
That we have to take care of while we're here. And the first is, this book had some SEX.
Some what?
SEX.
Some SEO, like for
SEX. It was SEX. Oh. It was SEX. And I know you're like this modern, like progressive woman who's not afraid to talk about sex, and you're open about it, and love talking about it and hearing about it. But you know me.
I do.
You know that that's not me.
No.
I'm much like my co-host Jack in that it scares me and yucks me out.
Yeah, it's weird that you guys decided to do a podcast about sex books.
Yeah, I know. I think that was most of the joke. There's a sex scene in this book. It's a little horny.
The thing with the book is it's very horny, but it's not very graphic.
Explicit. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although I do think still that this is a podcast that people are listening to around the dinner table with their family, their extended family oftentimes. Mm. So we don't want to be too graphic and too explicit on the show.
Okay.
So I want to describe the book's only real sex scene to you.
Okay.
But we are going to have to sanitize it. We're going to have what we call in the industry, bodlerize it.
Ah, of course.
Baudler was the guy who founded the town Baldur's Gate in the lore of D&D. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a city in Faerun called Baldur's Gate, and it was founded by this guy called Baldur, who famously hated sex. I think. I don't know. The Baldur stuff is like Jack's thing. So
okay, let's read the sex scene.
So these two, Charlie and Dev, they sort of do this like flirtatious, like practice dating, practice kissing thing, because Charlie isn't quite aware that he's attracted to men yet. For a good bit of the book, he's like toying with the idea that he might be asexual, just because physical attraction to people seems like difficult for him.
Yeah, I think he ends up not like totally specifying where he is on the ace spectrum, but that when he is attracted to someone, if they've had, you know, if they have a strong enough connection, it's men, is what he realizes.
Yes. But he also, he has OCD, so that kind of gets tied up into their love play too. Their love play becomes very confusing because it's like this like fantasy fictional pretend kissing stuff. But anyway, this is the culmination of all of that.
Because they do it in the shower.
They do it in the shower. Yeah.
Okay, so you want me to just read this?
We're going to say, well, you can start to read it if you want, but we are going to have to do a lot of stuff. Yeah. Are you familiar with the show at all?
Tanner, it's, I know this is really awkward. I've actually been on the show before.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Yes. So you'll know then that we're probably going to have to start and stop a lot.
Yeah. Where do you want me to start?
Charlie kneels down in front of him. Stop.
What?
Too suggestive.
Well, just give him something. Charlie kneels down in front of him and says, look, a penny.
Same thing.
Okay, which one is it?
I lost a penny.
Okay. Charlie kneels down in front of him. I lost a penny. Breathe, he reminds himself. Just breathe. He's very worried about the penny.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Water sluices down Charlie's nose across his... It's raining outside. They're outside, not in a shower, right? Across his clavicle, traveling the horizontal fault line of his abdominal muscles, which are under the shirt that he is still wearing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's charged. I'm not going to lie, it's charged.
Well, it's about to... You just wait. And Dave hunches forward to protect Charlie from the water as he takes Dave into his mouth.
Okay. Let's stop there.
Is Charlie a giant?
Oh, but even... I think... I appreciate the avenue you're going down. I still think that's too sexy. There's a lot of people who are... That is right up their alley.
Okay. Takes...
You kidding me? Giantess?
Those big ladies.
Four?
Those big ladies in Breath
Zelda?
Of the Wild.
Yeah, you're living proof. Look at you. You love those big ladies in Zelda.
Not in a sex way. Okay, so what do we do here?
So what's happened so far is that Charlie has lost a contact.
A penny. Lost a penny in the rain.
In the rain. And
water is...
He hunches down in front of Dave. And what could he be taking into his mouth?
Is he takes the penny into his mouth because it got
dirty? He accidentally eats the penny.
Oh, he ate it. Oh, no. Okay. So Dave hunches forward to protect Charlie from the water as he accidentally eats the penny in his mouth.
Okay. Okay. Can we stop down for just a second?
Yeah.
This is two friends hanging out.
Yeah.
One drops what I assume is like a lucky penny.
Yeah.
Because his reaction to dropping it in the rain is like, oh shit, I have to find this penny right now.
Yeah.
He drops to his knees, starts looking.
Yeah.
The other guy
hunches over him to protect him from the rain.
But has the penny?
No. No, no. Dave hunches forward to protect Charlie from the water as Charlie puts the penny
mouth. And he's like,
I got it. He's trying to protect the penny.
He's thinking to himself, I almost lost this thing. I never want to lose it again. I'm just going to make it a part of me.
Okay.
Inside of me.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems extreme.
You know what? It's high drama. It's romance. Okay. It's intense. Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, love, Dave says involuntarily. Everything
no,
he says.
That's not why would he say that?
Because he says, "Why'd you eat a penny?" Oh,
I would
love.
Say,
ew, yeah.
Why'd you eat that penny?
Why'd you eat that penny? He says involuntarily.
That's good.
Everything he says and does becomes involuntary. His other hand.
Yeah, he's in a sense of like heightened, like
he's like freaking out.
Tension.
Yeah.
He's like, why is this guy eating pennies?
Yeah. His other hand sweeping through Charlie's hair and holding on tight because
spit it out.
Yeah. He says. So here it says, he says, please and thank you. So it's more, he says, spit it out.
Yeah.
And he,
it's a command. Yeah. Please spit it out. Thank you.
Please spit it out. Thank you. And he falls into Charlie's lap when it's over.
The penny falls into Charlie's lap.
Sitting on the floor of their hotel shower wrapped up in wet limbs.
No, that doesn't make any sense for this story.
Okay. He says, please spit it out and thank you. And the penny falls into Charlie's lap when it's over. Sitting on his lap on top of wet limbs because the penny just fell into his lap. Okay.
Perfect.
Charlie pulls him into a rough kiss. Charlie pulls the penny into a kiss. I missed you.
Why does this guy always want this penny in his mouth?
I don't know, but it does set up the next line, which is when Charlie mutters, I love the way you taste to the penny.
Okay, so his whole thing is he just like...
Did we just...
He really
wait,
wants
Tanner,
to eat
wait,
this penny.
Yeah, I know. Did we just write someone with a penny fetish?
I'm not even sure it's a fetish. I think it's like a... Have you like... I think there's this
thing. Is it
thing
My Strange
like,
Addiction? Oh, maybe
it's
he
like
has,
My Strange Addiction.
He has,
where you're
he
like,
has like a mineral
like
deficiency.
A penny,
so he's craving...
Tasting.
craving copper. Maybe he has a copper deficiency or nickel.
And I'm not sure. I'm not sure copper's the thing humans need to live.
Okay, which one of us is the science writer? Okay.
What and what part of the body uses copper?
I'm sure something uses
the golf
copper.
Muscles, because they're always selling those copper bracelets on TV. So whatever muscles are used in golf, that need lots of copper.
Typical diets in the United States meet or exceed the copper RDA. Mean dietary intakes of copper from foods range from 800 to 1,000 micrograms per day for children aged 2 to 19. And adults aged 20 and older, average daily intakes are 1,400 micrograms for men and 1,100 micrograms for women. So people do eat copper.
How many pounds is 1,400?
Micrograms.
Micrograms.
I mean, I can tell you how many grams it is.
That's meaningless to me.
Copper is necessary
for... Whoa! Do you want to guess how many pounds?
Is 1,400 micrograms?
Yeah.
The
answer might surprise you.
0.0001.
No.
What?
0.00003.
Okay, I was off by 2 decimal places. So copper is an important cofactor for several enzymes. It's involved in energy production, iron metabolism, neuropeptide activation, connective tissue synthesis, and neurotransmitter synthesis.
Okay, so, fine. He knows something we don't. Because he's gobbling up these pennies. Like it's a penny buffet.
Just one. He only needs 1,000 micrograms.
I love the way you taste.
Penny.
Penny.
And Dave bursts out laughing. That's the end of the scene.
Yeah. The sound is wet echoing off the wet walls.
Of his mouth.
Charlie looks offended and pleased with himself. And
yeah,
scene.
And scene.
It's just a slice of life story. It's like This American Life over here.
About
here's
some
a
guy
story about a guy
a
who just like fucking loves eating pennies. Okay. Good. Good
we
job.
Did it. Thank you.
We did it.
We did it.
We
High
did
five.
The hit segment. Do you want to do another hit segment?
Yes.
Do you, did you bring any segments? I'd hate to step on toes here.
No. I mean, I've got a burn, but...
Okay, let's hear it. What was your burn?
I have two. Should I start with one? Then
oh, I have none. So why don't you just... My second one is... Your second one is actually mine, and you stole it from me.
My second one...
Because we were sharing notes. Because we have a family account on iBooks.
The notes
so
do not...
So we were
not,
sharing notes.
The notes do
and
not
Jamie
cross
saw
over.
My notes, and she was like, ooh, I'm going to take that one.
No.
So actually, Jamie's second burn is my burn.
At dinner today, I said, I have two burns, and you said, I have none. And I said, you didn't get the one about how Ryan's dressed, and you said, no, I have none.
I don't remember that conversation.
I'm glad you paid such close attention to our conversation. Okay, so Dave's ex-boyfriend is also a producer on the show. They were together for 6 years and they broke up.
Ryan. He's such a dick.
He turns out to be good.
He's a dick at the beginning.
He is a dick at the beginning. So this is, I don't know, pretty early in the book. It's like the first time that Charlie sees Ryan. And Dave has said that Ryan is hot, like way out of my league. And then here's the bird. Charlie would politely disagree. Ryan looks like a pirate who's going to try to upsell you rental car insurance, some befuddling blend of scruffy and preppy that almost disguises the fact that he's rather boring to look at. Burn on Ryan. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I gotta say, a pirate who's going to try to upsell you rental car insurance, it's a good burn.
Yeah.
And then you don't... You
honestly have trouble picturing it, to be honest.
But, like you,
but it is a good burn.
You know how it makes you feel.
Yeah, unwell.
You really don't have a burn?
No, I do have a burn. It's okay. The one you're about to read.
Okay. So this is from when Charlie and Dave go to their first practice date. They go out to brunch to a restaurant called Juniper's.
Yes.
You're saying yes because this was the burn that you had found, right?
I'm so excited about my burn. Yeah.
Okay. Juniper's restaurant is a crew favorite thanks to its proximity to set and its bottomless mimosas. And when they're finally seated, the outdoor patio is packed with clusters of 20-somethings rehashing their Saturday night revels and 30-somethings with strollers refusing to give up their old way of life. And that's a burn on us because we're 30-somethings who would have a stroller. I guess this
Jamie,
gets
I wanna,
kind of...
I'm going to remind you of something.
What?
About a year and a half ago, you and I... probably permanently
right
left living in the hip big city to go be boring suburbanites in Connecticut.
In a place where there is like almost literally no brunch. We tried to get brunch with my parents, and there was that restaurant.
Everyone's
it was awful.
Like, what brunch?
Like they open
like
at 1 o'clock.
Yokels.
No,
up here,
but
people.
So my point was, this is a burn on us, not because we're those 30 somethings who refuse to give up our old way of life, but because we're even sadder than them. A, because we did give up our old way of life by leaving the city, but B, there's a pandemic, so we can't go to brunch.
Oh, and also like we're trying to like make it happen up here. We're like, oh, you guys have never heard of brunch? You got to get on this. It's very cool. It's very hip. You drink. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning and you drink and everyone's like fine with it.
It's just like it's a burn on us.
And that's my burn. And thank you for reading it. And no thank you for taking it from our mutual notes in iBooks.
The notes are not shared.
Jamie, I have one last thing I want to talk to you about.
Yes.
The show is called Ever After.
Mm-hmm.
The Bachelor is called The Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And he always says his iconic line at the end of every season when he asks his female suitress to marry him. And it's this. Are you interested in becoming my princess? And I know what you're thinking, Jamie. I'm not proposing again. Although on a podcast, guest starring on my podcast.
And then doing it right
there. It's too bad we're already married because that's
good.
A good way to propose to someone, right?
I like that.
Wait until they're guest starring on your podcast and then drop it on them.
Yeah.
At the end of the book, Charlie realizes that Dave Deshpande is his true love.
Mm.
And they fire the producer of the show and they recut the whole season so that it's about Daphne discovering that she's a lesbian and Charlie and Dave realizing that they are in love.
That's cute.
And then they meet up again and Charlie says the following line. Dave Deshpande, are you interested in becoming my prince? You see any problem with that?
No, but I bet you
IP freely. It's intellectual property theft.
From what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Charlie, the prince, asks Dave to be his prince. One prince, two prince.
I want a divorce.
It's two princes, Jamie.
You are
put your headphones back in.
My headphones are in. My glasses are off. You're going to have to propose to me again on a podcast because I want a divorce.
It's two princes. When was this book written?
Like this let's year, look. Like last year, I think.
Okay. Well, guess what, Jamie? Let's look. Let's look. When did the Spin Doctors song Two Princes come out? 1991, Jamie.
Was this author even alive then?
I doubt it. I was barely alive then. I was seven. Seven. And this woman's like, oh, I've got two princes. Guess what? So did the Spin Doctors in 1991.
Okay.
Allison Cochran.
Okay.
It's IP Freely, and it's our segment about intellectual property theft. And Allison Cochran took the idea of two princes right from the dang Spin Doctors.
How dare. How dare she?
Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You seem sleepy. You don't want to like ride that energy?
Do you think I make good podcasts when I'm sleepy?
Ride the energy.
Okay.
I've got two lube brain consultants.
Oh, okay.
Unless you just want to go. Let's just do it real quick.
Let's do it real quick. We didn't, I don't think we can do girth check because there's no.
They don't talk about their dicks at all.
All right.
Not that I care. I'm a butcher. I'm a Bingus butcher, you know?
Am I allowed to care?
I've got no emotional attachment to these dicks.
Can I care?
Sure.
I'm not putting value judgments. I like to know about dicks.
Yeah, you're a connoisseur, right?
Yeah.
As he reads the dialogue, he can hear Dave's voice almost as if he's lying on the bed next to Charlie, reading it aloud to him. He doesn't know a damn thing about screenplays and jargon like MCU and EXT. MCU stands for Marvel Cinematic Universe, idiot. But somehow, he can imagine the world Dev is creating with his words all the same. The protagonist, Ravi Patel, is Dev. the hopeless romantic who has been unlucky in love but is still convinced of its almighty power. There is a meet cute, as Deb would call it. Ring, 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 ring. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hi. Who is this?
It's Jamie. Who's this?
Hi, it's Horny Tanner.
Oh, hi.
And I'm one of the two lewd branding consultants.
Oh, hello. Yes.
And I'm joined here by my lover. Her name is Horny Jamie.
Hey, what's up?
And we're here to talk about Meet Cute.
And our idea.
It's not horny enough.
It's not horny enough, but it could be.
It could be.
It could be because Tanner... in the book, in the notes you're reading, how is meet cute spelled?
M-E-E-T hyphen C-U-T-E.
And now I'm going to propose something to you. I'm going to propose some horny branding.
Yeah.
What if it was spelled M-E-A-T cute?
Oh, like dicks.
Like dicks.
I don't like it.
Oh.
I love it.
Ah!
And here's your $100,000.
Thank you.
And it's meat cute, and it's meat as in penis meat.
Yeah.
Meatus.
That's actually not what that word means.
What?
Meatus. It's not about dicks.
You're going to be so embarrassed in about 30 seconds.
Sorry, I have to... Take this. This isn't horny Jamie. This is science writer and pedant Jamie.
You're gonna be so embarrassed in a second.
Did you get there?
Yep.
All right. What's a meatus?
I'll tell you what a meatus is, Jamie. A meatus is the male urethra and the narrow fibromuscular tube that connects urine and semen from the bladder and ejaculatory ducts, respectively, to the exterior of the body. That can't be right. No, they're describing the urethra.
Yeah, a meatus is a passage or opening leading to the interior of the body.
It's a pee hole.
So
it is part of a penis.
It's also your ear.
Yeah, I didn't say meatus? It was just your penis. Mm.
The urethral meatus is a meatus, but
yes.
Anyway.
That's my point, too. So a meatus is a penis. But anyway, we did it. You knocked it out of the park, and this is why sometimes we have to bring in some fresh talent, some fresh meat.
To meet cute.
Yeah, to meet cute, which is like, it's like a regular meet cute with porking. Anyway.
Okay, cool.
That's the episode. Ooh. Thank you so much for joining us this week, Jamie Greenring.
Thank you for having me.
Nay Green.
Thank you. Thank you for marrying me. All that stuff.
Thank you for marrying me.
Thank you for the baby.
This time next week, Jack will still have a newborn baby at his house, Lewis, baby Lewis, and Jamie and I will still be doing this show together. And we will be covering the 2020 film, Emma. Starring
Anya Taylor-Joy,
Big Eyes, Mick Big Eyes.
Sure.
And
my boyfriend Johnny Flynn. And Squarehead and Pointy Face. Lots of good faces. Long neck, no eyebrows.
Yep, no eyebrows. Lots of unique looking people in that film. Hell of a film. Both of us have seen it before. And we are pointedly doing it because should I have... asked to do Emma while Jack was my co-host, he would have absolutely made me do the like 1993
absolutely not.
Emma starring.
We can't let that happen. Gwyneth Paltrow. No yeah. way. So. No. So next week we're watching The Good Emma.
Yep.
Take
yep.
that.
So look forward to that. Sex havers. What are they called? Bedpots.
Bedpots. Sex heads.
Yep. Sex heads. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us. Sex pots, bug beds.
Tanner, do you have an outro?
Thank you for joining us as well. Please do rate and review the show on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Do check out our merch. It's at some website somewhere. I don't remember where. I can't remember exactly what the URL is, but I'm sure you can find it if you just do a little bit of Googling. This has been Strange Bedfellows. Jack usually does the outro, and I don't really have his patter down yet. But it's a horny, sexy podcast where a man and his wife talk about horny, sexy books. I think that's it.
Don't you like read something from the book and you put podcast in it?
No, we stopped doing it.
Oh. We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows. All right, I'm recording.
I'm recording as well. You ready to go?
Yeah, we count?
Yep. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
10. I stopped paying attention and got worried that I was counting wrong.
Jack does that all the time. Jack will be counting and I'll say a number and Jack will say it along with me because he's such like a control freak.